Tommy, your show is hot, hot, hot.
Me mind on fire, me soul on fire, feeling hot, hot, hot.
Tommy, your show is hot, hot, hot.
Hotter people all around me feeling hot, hot, hot.
Hot, hot, hot.
Yeah, well, boom, 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 boom. Feeling hot, hot, hot,
hot, hot.
Feeling hot, hot,
hot, hot,
hot,
hot.
Oh, Tommy,
you're still
hot, hot, hot.
Yeah, baby.
This is Speaker Newt Gingrich, and I'm listening to Paying Attention with Tom Duggan on WCAP, where everybody gets it.
Go puke. Of course, Sam.
Five foot five and built for sin.
Lordy, just look at this ship I'm in. Oh, my feet's don't feel me now. Oh, I know this won't last forever. And come tomorrow, I'll be misery bound. But I tell you, my friend, that I do it again. She's the prettiest girl. She's the prettiest girl. She's the prettiest girl.
All righty. 978-454-4980. The prettiest girl in town by Melvin Taylor.
You got it.
Do that for my Penny, who really is the prettiest girl in town. You can't find anyone prettier than her.
Which town?
Any town. Doesn't matter where you go.
Doesn't matter.
978-454-4980. Phone lines are clear. So I'm going to give you the phone number slowly again because my mom says I do it too fast.
You do everything too fast.
978.
It's still too fast. 9784.
I'm not doing it. You do it. If you think you can do a better job than me, Mr. Paul, then you.
Well,
I've now delegated you to start giving the phone number.
No, I'd rather teach you how to do it.
Yeah,
Tom.
No, not really.
978-454-4980.
All right.
There you go.
Very good.
All right.
So we will entertain your calls throughout the show. We've only got an hour left. I'm really surprised. I thought we'd have some calls on Sheriff Cousins, but we haven't.
Nope.
But we will throughout the show, no matter what we're talking about. We've got a couple of topics we want to discuss this hour. One is the Whitney Houston media blitz. The other is the receiver in Lawrence. We also have the contraception issue, which I think we do have to spend some time on. And also, Tim, do you have that 100th edition thing queued up? Oh, he's all ready for us and everything.
Woo, doggy.
Why don't you play that, and then we'll just chat about it for a couple seconds. This is one of the commercials that we're running here on WCAP.
Where everybody gets it.
Where everybody does get it. And on March 1st, everyone's going to get it, too.
Join the Valley Patriot in celebrating the publication of their 100th edition and their 8th-year anniversary all in one bash. Master of Ceremonies will be none other than the Valley Patriot's own puppy girl,
Yay!
Kate Whitney. Meet owners Tommy Duggan, Chuck Ormsby, and Ralph Wilbur, and the entire Valley Patriot team. There'll be a surprise guest speaker, tributes, raffles, food, music, and fun. It's all happening March 1st, 7 p.m., VFW, 32 Park Street, North Andover. Visit the Valley Patriot 100th Edition Anniversary Bash on Facebook. Tables are available. Individual tickets only $15, free for veterans.
Listen, for $15.
$15, that's pretty cheap.
You can't beat that.
No.
And we toyed with the idea of what to charge, and I really wanted to charge like $30, but we looked at what was being donated, the food's being donated, the DJ's being donated, the decorations are being donated, so we said, well, since we're getting so much donated, we don't have to charge that much.
Master of Ceremonies is being donated?
Oh, the Master of Ceremonies is Poppy Girl. And let me tell you, that's worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah.
Even if there was no DJ and no food, really, it's worth $15 to go hang out with Poppy Girl for the night and have a couple of drinks.
If you've never seen Tom, or obviously if you've never seen me, these things matter nothing compared to never meeting Poppy Girl.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. So Puppy Girl is going to be our master of ceremonies, and she's going to be promoting One Tail at a Time Dog Rescue. And she's going to be coming, I think, with a bunch of people from One Tail at a Time, all of whom are very good looking.
None of them have tails, though.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But if they do, it would be One Tail at a Time. I figured I'd just beat you to the silly pun before you did. Also, we're going to have our guest speaker. We've got a couple of guest speakers. We've got a couple of surprise guest speakers.
That we can't tell people
about? We can't tell people about because that's a surprise.
Yeah.
So if you're buying your ticket, and you got to get them soon because they're going very fast. We're almost sold out. State Representative Jim Lyons, Republican from Andover, the only guy to vote against the state budget in the entire House, is going to be our guest speaker. He's going to speak for a few minutes. We've got a couple of celebrities who are coming. We're not going to announce who they are because we don't want you to come for them. We want you to come for the party. If you come for the party, you're going to get a treat. If you're coming because you're looking at the guest list and you go, oh, yeah, I don't care about Puppy Girl, well, first of all, shame on you. But if you go, oh, I don't care about Puppy Girl, I don't care about Jim Lyons, maybe I won't go, well, then you're going to miss out because we've got some really, really nice guests coming in who are going to be talking about very briefly. We're not going to have a lot of speeches. And by the way, candidates for office, you know, like Tom Weaver is going to come, Golnick, who's running for Congress, is going to come. We'll have probably Corinne Roten will be there. We're going to introduce them. We're going to let them get up and just say who they are and ask for a vote, but we're not going to let them give a speech. Because this is not a night for political speeches,
right?
Other than for, like, Jim Lyons, who's not really going to give a political speech. He's going to talk about free press and the Valley Patriot and all that stuff.
It's a night for celebration.
Tonight for celebration. Veterans are free. So if you're a veteran, please come. And if you'd like a table, you should probably get that reserved now because we don't have many tables left. And you can do
that.
Are
these round tables?
They're round tables. Okay. Sit 8 to a table.
Okay.
You could probably squeeze 9 in. So if you want to buy 9.
Is there a bar at this place?
There will be a bar. There'll be a cash bar. There'll be food. Okay. It's being sponsored by WCAP.
Dress code?
Huh?
Any dress code? Any you know, ballpark, what should you wear?
Yeah,
this thing?
Like, it's not formal, but, you know, semi-formal business casual works.
Not totally casual, but not formal.
Right,
Something in between.
Yeah, Puppy Girl called me last night, and she said, what should I wear?
Yeah.
And I said,
boy.
I said,
that's dangerous to ask you.
Asking me that?
Yeah.
I was like, do you have a thong? No. I said, well, what would Puppy Girl's fans want to see Puppy Girl wearing? Puppy I said, Girl's wear something fans. Wholesome and cute.
Yes.
And she laughed and she giggled. She said, well, should I wear, like, jeans? Should I wear a dress? I said, no, you got to wear a dress. Like, wear something nice.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be formal. But, wear a dress. We want people to come in and get them. They're paying $15 to see Puppy Girl, so you got to look good. But really, she looks good no matter what. She could come in sweatpants and she'd look great.
So
She saves puppies.
I understand that, Tom. Now, she also saves Valley Patriot newspapers when they come out.
Yeah, they do.
Are there going to be many other people that write columns going to be there?
Yeah, everybody who's a member of the Valley Patriot team, save one. Everybody who's a member of the Valley Patriot team will be there. Our drivers are coming. Our editors are coming. I think almost all of our columnists are coming. We have a couple of celebrity columnists that write columns for us once in a while. They've both said that they're trying to be there, but they won't be able to give me a commitment until, I think, this Thursday.
Okay.
So that's why we're not announcing them, but we're pretty sure that they're coming. And it's going to be a fun night. Look, it's going to be music. It's going to be fun. And we're going to raffle off 2 first edition Valley Patriots signed by the owners of the Valley Patriot.
Cool. Now, are the host and the co-host of the Valley Paying Attention radio show going to be there?
Well, obviously I'm going to be there, Paul. I don't know what you're asking.
I'm just telling you to tell them that we're going to be there.
Oh, well, why don't you just say that?
Because I was just doing it in a roundabout, cute way.
Right, but this is radio, and we only have so much time. That's why I get cut off at the end of the show when I'm saying goodbye, because you wasted it with all that.
I was just trying to be cute there.
Well, waiting on Alex Varis to be here, who has blown us off, apparently.
How about our producer? Is he coming?
Timmy said he's coming. He said he's going to try and come.
Good.
Oh, he's parking his car? Yeah. All right, he's packing. All right, we're waiting for Alex Varis to come. So let's try and get some of these other issues out before he gets here.
Alex does a lot of talking, doesn't he?
He does.
Oh, so how are we going to get these issues
out? We'll squeeze them in. Don't worry. real quick, Rob. By the way, Rob Eno is here, who's one of my favorite people in the whole world. And I don't say that about many people, but
don't be so nice.
Never said it about me.
Say that again?
Don't be so nice. It's always good to come back to Lowell, my hometown. So.
Excellent. I love to have Rob Eno. I don't know if you know who Rob Eno is.
I don't think so.
Rob is, you know, there are people who vote, people who don't vote, people who care and people who don't care. And then there are activists. Who not only vote, but they get out there and hold signs, recruit candidates, and act as sometimes as bloggers, members of the media, to hold elected officials and candidates accountable for what they're doing. And Rob Eno runs Red Mass Group, right?
Redmassgroup.com. Yes, I do.
.com. And he's, I mean, this, you want to talk about a mover and a shaker? I mean, Rob Eno's the guy in Massachusetts if you're a conservative or you're a Republican and you're sick of the media bias on the left, right? Am I wrong about that?
Well, you give me too much credit. I don't shake as much now that I've lost 100 pounds. But,
yeah,
you know.
But I was going to mention that. The last time I saw Rob Eno was probably about, was it Jim Lyons? Cookout last summer.
Yeah,
and you've lost about, what, like 80 pounds since then?
80, 90 pounds since
then.
Wow. Wow, congratulations.
Wow, you're looking great. You should talk to Penny. She lost 85 pounds.
Who's Penny?
Penny, my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, and by the way, Penny's going to be there, too. So not only is Puppy Girl going to be there, Penny's going to be at our 100th edition bash. You're coming, right?
When is it?
March 1st, a week from Thursday.
Week from Thursday in the great city of Lawrence?
No, it's going to be in the great city town of North Andover.
Oh, the great town
yeah,
of North Andover.
Yeah, the VFW, where we have our tea party meetings.
Now, is Jay Leno's from North Andover or Andover? We ever figured that out? I mean, was it? We don't want to know.
Yeah. Well, he comes from
978-454. I hate you so much. 978-454-4980 is the number. All I'm going to say is that there are going to be people there that if you go, you will be impressed. That's all I can tell you. You should get your tickets. It's $15 a ticket.
How do you get them?
Well, you can email me on Facebook. You can call me. You can call Penny. You can email Penny on Facebook. There's a million different ways you can get it. You can call Jen Cooper, who's also trying to help us organize this, as well as Eric Walker, Celeste Walker. They're also helping us to organize this as well. So let's real quick, let's put Whitney Houston off for a minute because she's not quite as important. The contraception issue. Now I'm glad we've got Rob Eno here because I've been thinking about this now for the last 2 weeks. Do you guys remember during a Republican debate about a month and a half ago?
Yes.
When out of
George
the blue.
Stephanopoulos.
Yeah. Out of the blue for no reason whatsoever. George Stephanopoulos brings up the issue of contraception at a Republican debate, and even Mitt Romney and the rest of these guys shrugged their shoulders and said, George, this is an issue anyone's talked about for 30 years. What are you bringing up for?
Actually, Tom, not to interrupt you, but I'm going to, I think, probably just disagree with what you're about to say, because the reason Stephanopoulos brought it up is because of the video of Senator Santorum talking about contraception and saying that he would, as president, enlighten people as to the dangers and negative consequences of contraception.
However,
yeah,
Rick Santorum has talked about gay marriage, he talked about abortion, he's talked about the death penalty, he's talked about a million other things. George Stephanopoulos seized on that one issue and nobody could figure out why. And a month later, we find out that this contraception thing is the way that the Obama administration is trying to sell Obamacare. And it's apparent, I think, now looking back, that when everyone was shrugging their shoulders saying, why is he bringing this up, that George Stephanopoulos, as well as most of the mainstream media, were in private talks with the Obama administration about what talking points to bring out so that they could push Obamacare a month later, Rob.
That is not a conspiracy theory.
No,
if the people out here that want to think that's a conspiracy theory, if you've been reading the Daily Caller recently, the Daily Caller is a Tucker Carlson website. It's kind of like... it's a real news site, but it has a Republican bent. And Big Journalism, which is one of Andrew Breitbart's sites, they have been doing an expose on Media Matters, and Media Matters coordinating with the Obama administration and with mainstream media to bring this stuff to light. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They have documents. They have proof. I mean, the mainstream media, Barack Obama just hired something like 12 or 15 reporters to be on his campaign team that were supposedly, you know, unbiasedly covering him recently. So it's to say that there's not that there is. I mean, I love it. You sit there and you got the left in Massachusetts going, I can't believe Scott Brown is focusing on contraception. Scott Brown isn't focusing on contraception.
The media
who's focusing on contraception is Barack Obama, who knew that he thought he could get a wedge issue, but he didn't understand the power of the Catholic Church.
Right.
I mean, the Catholic Church as lasted two millennia. They've gone up against dictators. They've gone up against all these people. I mean, I don't go to church.
Nazism,
I
haven't gone to church. Communism.
Nazism, communism. They've stood up to all these people. You don't think they can stand up to somebody that's going to try and force them to do something that they don't want to do when it involves, you know, the pill that somebody can go pick up at Target for $9 a month?
Right. Paul?
Yeah. No, I agree. It's you know, like I was trying to say last week, it's not only a question of freedom of religion. I also think it's a question of what is health care. And, you know, contraception, by its very nature, which is to impede the creation of a human being, is not healthcare. It does the exact opposite. Pregnancy is actually a sign of health. So it shouldn't be, in my opinion, it shouldn't be in any health care plan.
And let's be clear. There is nobody in the United States saying that you should not be able to go and buy the pill or wear a condom or do anything like that.
But is it a constitutional right, Rob? Shouldn't it be a constitutional right to get a rubber?
I think it is actually a constitutional right to put anything on your body, anything in your body, or do anything with your body what you wish, as long as it doesn't harm another human being, which is where you stop at abortion,
right?
Because abortion is harming the life of another human being.
But see, if you
want to get me on that, I'm very libertarian on that.
I'm trying to get the liberals. Because the Obama administration's line is anything that's a right, the government should pay for.
Oh, no, that's actually Dan Hanen. I was at CPAC last week. Dan Hanen is the minister of the European Parliament. And he was talking about the differences between the United States Constitution and the European Constitution. Our Constitution is something like 720 words. Theirs is something like 7,200 words. Theirs is 72,000 words. We have actual rights that stop the government from doing stuff to us that are based in English common law, that are based in the Magna Carta and English rights. And then you have the European Union, which has things like the rights are a right to health care and positive rights, not the negative rights that the government doesn't have. And his whole thing was, you know, for a long time, those conservatives and British that saw the United States as the last vestige of the historical rights of the English people and thought that maybe they could import it back are looking at us right now and scared to all death because we're not only following them down the road towards the cliff, according to Hanen, where we've got our foot on the gas pedal, we've got nitro packs in the back, we're pressing them, and we're going to pass them and go over. I mean, but that's the thing, is that there's no... It's such a distortion of what the rights and the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are to say that there are positive rights that people have that the government should pay for. That's not what our rights are. Our rights are that the government should leave us alone, and that's what our rights are. But
yeah, Paul,
I digress.
Well, I agree. I mean, 90% of that I agree. I think there are some things, perhaps, that for the common good the government should be involved with. But by and large, I agree. The rights in the Constitution are negative rights, not positive rights.
Right. The rights in the Constitution are that your rights from government intrusion.
Yeah.
It's not what government should pay for. So just because something's supposedly a right, like supposedly abortion, somehow the Supreme Court found abortion in the Constitution, and I don't know how they found that because I've read it a million times. I haven't found it in there. But once the courts decided that abortion was a right, suddenly the government said, well, if it's a right, we should have to pay for it. And I still don't get that because I think we all have a right to free water, but we all have to pay a water bill, don't we?
Right. The Democrats in Massachusetts have fallen into a trap, and nationally. I don't think it's any... my Catholic friends tell me that about a week and a half, about 2 weeks ago at Mass, there was a homily that came down from the Catholic bishops, from Archbishop Dolan, that was read in every Catholic church, that was warning against the encroachment on our religious liberties. So and much before the infamous Jim Browdy interview, Scott Brown was out there telling people that he was doing it, and those emails were going around in socially conservative and Catholic circles. You can't tell me that a poll taken from February 11th to February 15th, that the main change from the poll taken earlier wasn't people remembering, oh my Lord, this is why we voted for Scott Brown. You can't tell me that the 60% of people in that poll that said that they think there should be two different parties in leadership in Washington from Massachusetts weren't thinking of that. I mean, if you remember... our friend John Walsh, the chairman of the Democratic Party, sent out a mailer saying that Scott Brown wanted to rape women in emergency rooms.
Right.
I mean, that got sent out.
Yep.
I mean, these people will stop at nothing, and they don't get that this issue is not the wedge issue that they wanted. It's just like, I mean, you remember the race in 2010. It was Scott Brown running cheerful ads saying, my name is Scott Brown, and I will be the 41st vote to stop Obamacare and stop the federal government from trampling on your rights.
Right.
And Martha Coakley ran ads, Scott Brown will be the 41st vote to end Obamacare, and that will hurt you. Well, who won that race?
Right.
I mean, they're tone deaf, and I actually enjoy it. It's because they don't understand. Scott Brown, as much as I love Charlie Baker, is not Charlie Baker. And... I mean, David Bernstein from the Boston Phoenix said it this week. He's a U.S. senator, and they're not.
Right.
And, you know, Scott, we have a historic chance to gain seats in our state legislature with Scott Brown at the top of the ticket in a presidential year, which hasn't happened in God, I don't know how long. And I think it's going to happen for the Republican Party this year.
I think it's going to depend on who the Republican nominee is. I think if the Republican nominee is Mitt Romney, you're probably going to see Massachusetts go against Mitt Romney. And I think that's going to hurt the Republicans on the ticket. I think if it's somebody else, I think you might have a good shot.
I see. That's against the conventional wisdom. I really don't think it matters who's on the top of the ticket because Scott Brown is the leader of the Republican Party in Massachusetts. And the people in Massachusetts love Scott Brown. And, you know, and the Democrats seem to be trying to figure out who can drive to the pen the fastest in Massachusetts. And
all right, we've gone from praising Republicans to ripping Republicans. You're with Frank Cousins. You're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Tommy, thanks for taking my phone call.
Thanks for calling in.
And I'm really not ripping Republicans. I'm just ripping leadership that continues to, whether it's Republican, Democrat, Independent, Tea Party, Communist, I don't really care what it is. If you do something wrong, you should have the opportunity to fix it maybe once or twice, but not three times. So when he has financial contributions, not once, not twice, but three times, and the only thing that's done to the guy is fine him, and he says, all right, yeah, I won't do that again. Well, geez, I did it again. You know what, I won't do that again. Here, I'll pay a $10,000 fine. Oh, sorry, I won't do that again. Let me pay another fine as long as I can keep my $145,000 a year job with political patronage and all the power to hand out jobs and promotions and everything else like that. So I guess the real question is, when is enough enough?
You're talking about Sheriff Frank Cousins?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So now, I agree with you. I think most of the people here agree with you, Republican or Democrat. If someone's involved in corruption, if they're doing things that are wrong, we need to expose that.
Right.
I think what really bothers me the most, though, is that when I got a phone call from Sheriff Cousins' press person, whatever his position is, whatever his title is, yeah. Paul Fleming, his flunky. When Paul Fleming calls me and I ask him a straight-out question, how many pretrial detainees are you illegally holding at the farm? Because it's against the law to hold pretrial detainees with prisoners because they haven't been convicted yet.
It's against his own policy. It's in his policy that there will be no pretrial people or people with restraining orders or people with violent offenses at the farm.
Right. And when I talk to Paul Fleming on the record and I ask him on the record how many you have over there, and he says, zero, Tom. That's against the law. We would never do that. And I've already got pictures of 14 pretrial detainees at the farm. I mean, they're outside. Right. You can see them. It's not like they're being hidden. That's when I have a problem. It's the lying.
He doesn't have to hide anything, Tom. He's the highest law enforcement agent in the state, one of them. Why does he have to hide anything? Because according to him, everything that's done, he knows about goes across his desk. Everything. That's what got the last sheriff in trouble.
Right.
Because he didn't know what was allegedly going on. But I'm going to know everything that goes on in my department. Therefore, he can't do anything wrong because obviously he has enough people to cover everything up for him, including down the farm. I mean, I think I read in the paper this week that there was an incident up at the Middleton jail.
Yeah, in fact, we broke that story. We're waiting for the Eagle Tribune to break it. There was a hanging on Monday night. An inmate in D Block hung himself, I think on Monday night. That's the gang unit block. And we still, it's now Saturday morning, there's been no press release from Sheriff Cousins' office letting us know there was a death in his custody.
Well, he probably still doesn't know there was one because he's probably bunkered in solitude and depression in regards to the story that might have hit on Monday night.
Yeah, he's counting all that money he made on the flipping over of that condo that he got up in Newburyport.
He had another fundraiser. Let me guess, there was no employees there.
Yeah, I bet there weren't. So, yeah, of course.
So there was probably 10 people there.
All right, Ryan, is there anything else you want
Thank
to give
you.
Us? Can you give us a good news tip?
No, this is
he gone?
All right. No news tip.
No news tip from Ryan. All right, thanks for calling. 978-454-4980 is the number. Joining us also is Alex Varis, who is a candidate for state committeeman. I appreciate that you've purchased an ad in the Valley Patriot for your campaign, Alex. We're going to give you an opportunity to tell people who you are, but I've got a couple of tough questions for you, and you're not going to be able to dodge them here.
Go ahead.
All right, introduce yourself, tell people who you are, what you're running for, and then we'll get into
Alex Varis, running Republican State Committee, basically both parties quadrennially box. Every 4 years during the presidential primary, basically they elect their board of directors. So it's one man, one woman from each of the 40 state Senate districts for a total of 80. I'm running the first Essex, which is Haverhill, Amesbury, Salisbury, Newburyport, Merrimack, Methuen, North Andover, precincts 1 through 4. So that's the district I'm running in. I'm running against a person who's been there 20 years. That's you can't even find him on the side of milk cartons because he hasn't done the job.
Yeah, because if you think Dave Teresi's nowhere to be found and call him, where is he? Yeah. Bill Ryan the Weasel, I mean, you see Dave Teresi. You'll see Dave Teresi long before you'll see Bill Ryan.
Well, I mean, of course, remember Bill Ryan, when we called him out, you and I, having a sign for a Democrat on his lawn of his house, saying, oh, my wife told me to put that. That's my wife's candidate. Yeah, it's a bunch of BS. Bill Ryan has done more, supposedly, as a Republican state committee man, to elect Democrats and to help Republicans get elected. You know, I want to go in. I want to do the job because if you look, Republican candidates can get about 40-45% of the vote. It's that 5-10% that we need to work on. You know, we need to develop a message, and we need to have an apparatus. We need to have a machinery. Basically, guys go out there, they're on their own. We got to start running as a team. We got to start taking, like you said, and I've said in the past, so we got to start supporting one another. Perfect example, like you see in Lawrence, and Danny Rivera, you see Democrats from miles around come and attend a fundraiser for him. This is for a nonpartisan, quote-unquote nonpartisan city council seat. But yet Republicans, when somebody's running, oh, Lawrence, no, that's too far. I can't get there. They need to establish a hive mentality and start supporting their own. That's the way, only way you're going to win.
Now, I'm not a big fan of Bill Ryan's. I mean, I call him a weasel for a reason. And I think you spelled out one of those reasons. He secretly supports Democrats when he's a Republican state committeeman. However, Alex, mm-hmm. I mean, we have to be fair, too. I remember when Willie Lantigua got elected, my friend. Mm-hmm. And you were there dancing and singing and celebrating Willie Lantigua's election. We like you, but don't lie. The lie is worse than what you did.
The Eagle Tribune was quoted because I was there for Danny, and the girl that wrote it made it look like that I was there for Willie. I was there for Danny Rivera. I later talked to the editors of the Tribune. Of course, the Tribune, as usual, didn't print a retraction.
But I've seen you at Willie Lantigua fundraisers, celebrating Willie Lantigua and supporting Willie Lantigua. I mean,
I've only gone to one event. That's when he was running for state rep. But other than that, no, I don't go out of my way to attend anything for Willie.
So those pictures that I have you at the endorsement party, that wasn't you?
Was that when he was running for state rep?
No, he was running for mayor. He was running for mayor. We've got them. They're on Facebook.
Because I don't remember ever going to an event for Willie. I didn't go to any events for Willie.
You didn't ever support Willie for mayor?
No.
All right.
No. No, my candidate was your nemesis there.
Because we actually have you. We actually have audio of you calling into the show saying how great Willie Lantigua is going to be the first Dominican mayor.
No, I've never.
That's not you at all.
No.
All right. Well, we'll play those clips next week and we'll see if I'm right.
Never supported the guy.
All right.
Have I donated? Yeah, I've donated.
Have you ever supported a Democrat publicly? Have you ever in the last? Let's just see. Just in the last few years, because people change their mind over decades. But in the last few years, have you ever supported a Democrat?
It was a few years, I was registered independent. I held signs and. For Stephen Lynch. Stephen Lynch is probably as a Republican we're going to get in this state.
All right. Okay. Paul? Rob? Anything?
Well, I just, you know, Willie's got his problems, but the thing that I always remember in Lawrence, and I'm going to get myself in trouble here with my Republican friends, but, you know, for Republicans to go after Willie Lantigua for the problems of Lawrence is a pretty interesting concept, considering it had a Republican mayor who was a Democrat, was a Democrat until Bill Weld appointed his brothers and things like that and became a Republican later. And it's one of the problems that I have with attacking Willie, because, you know, Willie's got his problems, but the problems of Lawrence are not Willie's problems. The problems of Lawrence, by and large, are the problems of 20 years of a Republican mayorship. In city council, there's good guys that have tried to save it, like my friend Mark LaPlante, who I helped run for Congress in 2000, who didn't always agree with, I believe, the Republican mayor of Lawrence. But, you know, to paint all of the world, and I get upset even with the Republican State Party when they try to paint all of the problems of Lawrence on Willie Lantigua.
Well, I look,
I remember in 2000 when Willie ran as an unenrolled. I mean, he helped Republicans back then. You know, he helped Chuck McCarthy when Chuck McCarthy was running for Congress. Willie fell into the trap, I think, that a lot of conservative Democrats fall into, because I think that Willie is somewhat conservative in social issues and other things, is they go to Beacon Hill and they get glad-handed and they join the Democratic Party and then they fall into the traps. I mean, our friend, my friend, Steve Panagiotakis, I mean, we used to joke with Steve about being a Republican.
Right.
You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Well, Steve's name is all over this Ware report. I mean, allegedly he may get in trouble for it. I don't know. But if you read the Ware report, Steve went down there, became the chairman of Ways and Means, and turned into a machine Democrat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what happens with the Democratic Party in Massachusetts. And if people have seen the light and want to try and fix it, and I mean, you know, I don't know the problems intimately enough for Willie Lantigua and Lawrence, and you know them a lot more than I do. But the problems, Willie's problems, are not the problems of Lawrence.
The problem that I agree with you in one sense. All the problems in Lawrence are not Willie Lantigua's. I agree with that. However, Willie's liberal philosophy, and he might be a social conservative, but he's liberal on everything else. Willie's liberal philosophy, his tax and spend philosophy, his philosophy with poverty pimp organizations like Lawrence Community Works, which he took tons of money from the people who work there, who are now getting tons of money of our tons of our federal dollars for poverty pimp programs in the city. The corruption that we know is going on with Willie Lantigua and has been since he's been a state rep. I think that further exacerbates the problems. I mean, you can say whatever you want about Mike Sullivan, but the state didn't take over the city of Lawrence when Mike Sullivan was running.
I hear you, but there's the systematic problems. I mean, we're sitting in Lowell, and the systematic problems of the city of Lawrence go back to, and now I'm going to get all history buffish, go back to annexation. The city of Lowell started in its core in the Wamisit village of East Chelmsford, which we're sitting in right now.
Right.
And over time, the city of Lowell grew, and it gained more of Tewksbury, it gained more of Chelmsford, it never gave some of Billerica, but got some of Drakett, you know, and grew, mm-hmm. and became a city. And there's middle-class neighborhoods and wealthy neighborhoods in Belvedere and working-class neighborhoods like the Acre, where I was born in.
Mm-hmm.
And all those neighborhoods come together and form a pretty unique city of its size in the United States. I mean, there's people of all socioeconomical classes. People are very proud of being from the city of Lowell. In Lawrence, you stopped at Wamisit Village. You stopped at the urban core. I think that the problems of Lawrence are solved by devolving Lawrence back into Methuen and Andover.
That will never happen.
It will never happen. But if you want to solve, if you really want to solve the problems of Lawrence, it doesn't have a tax base.
It doesn't have
a grouping of people besides the poor inner cities.
Well, Rob, you also mentioned the fact that Lawrence was one of the first planned cities in the United States. You know, this is where the factories are. This is where the railroad lines are going to run. This is where the people are going to live. This is where the workers are going to live. It's a planned city. It's unique that it was planned for one industry only, the mill industry. When those industries went down south and eventually went to China, how are you going to get rid of 70,000 people?
But that happened in Lowell. That Lowell.
Well, here's the difference. The difference is, there's two differences. One, Lowell had Paul Tsongas. We had
exactly.
Chet Atkins. The other difference is that Lawrence has become the lab rat for every liberal social program, whether it's in the school system, whether it's free needle programs, whether it's AIDS houses, whether it's whatever the liberal social experiment is that they want to try and spearhead nationwide, they use Lawrence as the lab rat to see if it's going to work.
I get you, but there's no middle class. There was a middle
class. Well, that drove out the middle class.
I understand, but there's now no middle class in Lawrence.
I agree.
And there is a middle class in Lowell. There, besides... what's the neighborhood in South Lawrence?
Mount Vernon.
Besides Mount Vernon, there is no real middle-class neighborhood. I mean, I used to work at... I sold chemicals to the paper industry. And speaking of industries that have left Massachusetts, Merrimack Paper is done. There's nothing there now. I worked at Newark Atlantic Paper Board. They were one of my clients.
Atlantic.
And I worked at Phasex, which was a company in the Sal's Pizza building now that does some supercritical... that does some chemical-type stuff. And they're still there, and they do some stuff, but...
Let me ask you this. Why do you think there isn't a middle class in Lawrence?
I think there isn't a middle class in Lawrence. One of the reasons is, you know, we had Paul Tsongas talk about it. I will give you that. But it's also that the city's not big enough. Land-wise, there just isn't... There aren't those neighborhoods.
No, well, I'm not talking about working in Lawrence. I mean, why can't half the people in Lawrence work in surrounding towns and become middle class?
I think they probably
why
can.
Why haven't they?
They've fallen under this democratic thing that because you're I'm Hispanic. Because you're Hispanic, you can't succeed, and that's the problem in Lawrence. They've fallen under that mindset, that trap. I thank God that I was raised in Haverhill, where you had to struggle and survive, and I've become something with my life. But when I look at Lawrence, and I look at they need to free themselves from that Democratic Party plantation, first and foremost. Some of them get it, but when they get it when they move to Orlando, Florida, which has a large concentration of Hispanics from the Merrimack Valley, which are voting Republican, or at least give a Republican candidate a chance. But these folks, somehow, because the party's not doing a job of knocking on their door, talking to the conservative ministers, it failed. They need to get off that plantation. Their problem is strictly one-party rule.
Are they ever going to get off that plantation and its mentality if they continually get bailed out?
No, and I don't believe the city should be bailed out. It's not the responsibility of taxpayers in this Commonwealth to pay for the problems of Lawrence. They are going to have to look at it, tighten their belt, and see we're going to have to run the city on our own. And it's not my responsibility, it's not your responsibility, it's not the responsibility of the listeners to pay for Lawrence's problem. Lawrence needs to be that 18-year-old to get the hell out of the house and find its role in the world.
Well, there you go, Tom.
All right, 978-454-4980. Timmy Bomo says we need to take a break. Got about 15 minutes left in the program. If you'd like to call in and give us a Sheriff Cousins story, we'd love to hear that. And you can always email me at valleypatriot@aol.com. If you've got a tip about what's going on in the Essex County Sheriff's Department, our investigation continues. Channel 4's investigation continues. The Eagle Tribune, still the propaganda department for Essex County Sheriff Frank Cousins. Back after this on Paying Attention with Alex Varis, Rob Eno, Paul Morano. We'll be right back.
Of administration that we've had in this city that has only represented one district in this city. I'll say it.
Say it.
It'll be reported tomorrow. Tommy's going to report it.
You bet. Say it.
I'll tell you, Tommy's got a lot of balls to be in here tonight.
This is former Louisiana Governor Buddy Romer, and you're listening to Paying Attention with Tom Duggan on 980 WCAP, where everybody gets it, even in Louisiana.
God, the off-air show is way better than the on-air show.
I am the sun and the air.
No, I love this. Love this.
That is
all right, we got Alex Varis. By the way, hi, I'm Tom Duggan. Valley Patriot Radio program. I'm sorry, the Paying Attention Radio program. I still have the 100th edition bash. You guys are all coming to the bash. Rob Eno, I know you got
to
be coming.
I got to make it out to North Andover. Maybe I'll go stop by the bar and say hi to Jimmy on the way.
Definitely be there.
Yeah, Alex will be there. Paul's. I'd like to bill Paul as one of our musical guests, but yep. Paul can't commit. It's like, well, I might be able to be there. I'm not sure. I can't commit, but I'm going to say kind of yes, but I can't let you know.
Barring decapitation, I'll be there.
All right. What we're going to do is we've invited Melvin Taylor to come sing the Paying Attention song. If he doesn't come, we've got Paul's going to play the Paying Attention song. If he does come, they're going to do it together, which would be fun. We're going to do like a little sing-along.
A duet.
Yeah, like a little duet. We'll do a sing-along.
Paying attention.
And we've got Celeste Walker's doing all of our decorations. We've got Scott Walker is our fine DJ who's donating his services for the night. And we also have...
Not Governor Scott.
Yeah, you get the governor of Wisconsin doing...
Exactly.
He's like coming over here. You know, he's got a recount deal going on. Yeah. He's just going to come over here.
He's
got
to do something with his free time.
Other unions, Governor Walker.
From CPAC to North Andover.
We've got the Daily Dose Cafe from Sal's Riverwalk is donating some of the food, as well as Greg Frato from the North End Deli. So we want to thank them as well. We have somebody on the line. Who is it? Matt from Lawrence, you're on the air.
Hey, Tommy, how you doing? Congratulations on the 100th.
Thank you very much.
That's a good job. You know, if you had some foresight, though, you would have called your buddy Eddie Money and had him do a cut for you.
Here you go.
That
would have been cool.
You know what? I'm going to call him this week and see if maybe he can.
That would have been really, because I know you guys are pretty tight, right?
Yeah, we are pretty tight. You know what's funny? My friend Tim Hart and I have been listening to Eddie Money since we were in fifth grade. And when I finally got to interview Eddie Money, I called my friend Tim and said, remember when we were in fifth grade, we used to listen to Eddie Money and say, wouldn't it be great to be able to meet him someday? How'd you like to meet him? So I brought him with me, and we met him, and when we left, he said, did that guy just give you his cell phone number? And I said, yeah. So we will. I'll call him this weekend, this week, and we'll see if we can't get Eddie Money. He probably won't be able to come. Maybe he can. We'll ask him. But otherwise, maybe we can get him to do like a nice lino we can play during the event.
There you go.
Maybe you can give him 2 tickets to Paradise. He can take the guest.
Yeah. April's round, zombie.
The reason I called though is because you had made someone. I guess when your panel made mention about Lawrence needs to flip it to from Democrat to Republican. I'm a voting Republican, registered Republican. And I think the problem isn't that. I think the problem is it's the negative attitude of the citizens that, you know, I can't succeed, so therefore I won't. So they don't try.
Well, and I agree with you because the problem is that when you have a welfare state mentality and all these groups that tell you you're not going to succeed, people need to wake the bleep up and start fending for themselves. But you're never going to happen until we get these groups the hell out of there.
It's true, but it starts with the simplest, you know, getting the gangs under control, you know, which we've seemed to have lost the grip on, because they're starting to mark buildings all over the city again, even on the south side of the city. You see them spray painting buildings.
The problem. It's all the social service industries. It's telling people they can't succeed. It's telling the people you need to speak Spanish first before you can speak English. That's one of the reasons why I'm running, because, for God's sakes, we need to go into these neighborhoods and enlighten these people on conservative core principles. If, you know, somebody Hispanic owns a business, regardless whether it's Lawrence or whatever, these are people are Republicans, but we're not reaching out to them. But we just need to end the goody state in Lawrence. It needs to end.
I totally agree. And, you know, Lawrence doesn't need another bar. It doesn't need another liquor store. It doesn't need another barbershop. It's got a, you know, 500 of each.
No, it needs to read the principles of Milton Friedman and Barry Goldwater's Conscience of a Conservative. That's what Lawrence needs.
You know, I don't know, you know, how it's going to come back. I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to be. You know, I realize that Mayor Lantigua didn't inherit.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
These problems, but he doesn't play well with others. He just doesn't.
Here's how it's going to change. It's going to change when we take a page out of the playbook, and I think Alex was talking about this earlier, from the Democrats. We've got to go into the neighborhoods in these inner cities, and in these cities, knock on doors and talk to people that we know about the things that we know that they care about, and get them to come to our side. I always tell the story, especially when I'm on WCAP in 980 in Lowell, is Jim Oganowski was a friend of mine. I was helping Jim Oganowski's campaign, even though I lived in East Boston at the time.
Right.
I was a paper boy in Ward 5-3, or Precinct 5-3 and Precinct 6-1 in the Pawtucketville section of Lowell. I took the walk sheets, and I went and I talked to the people that I used to deliver their papers for, because a lot of those people are still there in that neighborhood. People don't move out of that neighborhood. And I talked to them because I knew them. And you know who won Ward 5 or Precinct 5-3 and Precinct 6-1 in the city of Lowell? It was Jim Oganowski. And by you know, about 10 points, it was the two precincts that he won. And if people like me had gone around in the city of Lowell and had talked to their neighbors and the people that they have relationships with about why Jim Oganowski was a good guy, Jim Oganowski might have won the city of Lowell. I mean, that's what we don't do. We don't have a precinct structure. We don't have a structure of people that go into their neighborhoods, knock on doors, and talk to people. And that's what's holding Republicans back in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, because we're right on the issues.
Because we got to organize from the ground up. You need to have an infrastructure. You know, that's why on March 6th, I hope I can get your vote. You go to my website, alexveros.com. You want to compare my issues to my opponent, you're not going to have anything to look at. You go to votecorevalues.org and click on State Committee, which is on the top. Scroll down to Northeast. You can see what I believe in versus my opponent that believes in nothing. You know, I want the job. I'm not going to get paid doing this. It's for free, but I want to work at it because, darn it, we can win in this state. And as Rob and I were saying, there are conservative, like-minded people in Lowell, except they're moving to Florida. Well, darn it, we need to talk to them and keep them here. We can win, and we're going to win, but it's going to take work, and it's going to take the vote of the people out there.
978-454-4982. We've got about a minute left, so a minute, right? Because I think this clock in here is always like a minute behind. That's why I get cut off at the end. Just keep wrapping it up. All right, well, that's Melvin Taylor, so we do have to end the show. We do have another story coming out about Sheriff Cousins this week. So keep an eye on the Valley Patriot Facebook page. If you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, you better get in now, because I'm approaching 5,000 fans. And Facebook cuts you off at 5,000. So if you want to be a Facebook friend, you better get in now, because in the next couple of months, that's going to be full. That's going to be it.
I'm special.
Yeah, Rob Eno's the best. I love Rob Eno. When are you going to run for office?
Maybe in the future.
All right.
You know,
very good.
The good people of Lowell have always been my home, so maybe.
Alex Varas running for state committeeman, Republican state committeeman, Pomeran. I appreciate you being here. We'll talk a little about Whitney Houston again next week. I'm sure that won't be off the radar screen.